is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hi, this is Don Showalter from USA Basketball, and you are listening to the Hoop Heads Podcast.
Hey, Hoop Heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today. Hello, and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Lensing here with my co-host, Jason Sunkel. We are jumping on tonight for our weekly update on the NBA's return. It is 1:02 a.m.
It's a little earlier than normal.
It's a little bit earlier than normal here on a Tuesday night / Wednesday morning. So just want to give everybody a little bit of an update on where the NBA is in terms of the return, talk about some of the news that's broken out this week. So Jay, why don't you walk us through some of the things that have been going on?
And before we even say this, we should clarify saying this is all tentative and there could be changes because these are what are being reported. I don't necessarily think the NBA, Mike, has confirmed any of these dates. I don't think the NBA has put out a press release with target dates. So these are what's being reported.
Well, I will say, I don't know how official NBA.com is, but NBA.com has, in their frequently asked questions, they have everything listed, but they have it all listed as tentative. So,
oh, okay. Well, at least, see, tentative.
Tentative, yes.
And I think what's really going to be interesting on this is, and we'll get into the schedule here, but like, obviously, they're going to have the luxury to shift things around a little bit because, you know, if all the series go in three games and they're all on the same campus, they can just go, right, Mike? I mean, we'll talk about that, I'm sure. But I think they're going to have some flexibility with the schedule. They're not going to have to conform to a traditional schedule at all in this situation.
Well, you're not going to, let's say you have the two conference finals both end in four games under normal circumstances, then you'd wait 10 days to start the finals or whatever it would be. I would have to imagine that if both of those series end in four games, they're going to go right to the finals 2 days later or whatever it is. So yeah, I would think that there's the ability potentially to be able to shave some days off of that schedule, but who knows? It just depends on how things happen and how the playoff race breaks out.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk the schedule. So this is the tentative schedule. So, they are going to be reporting starting, I think, next week. They're going to start reporting to their home cities with the exception of Brooklyn and Toronto. Toronto and Brooklyn are currently under the Toronto being the international travel ban situation going on, and Brooklyn obviously being kind of a hotbed spot for COVID. So they are not going to be returning there. They're supposedly working on alternatives. Now, I read, I don't know how accurate it is, that Toronto's attempting to get the Cavaliers facility, which I think kind of makes sense. I mean, Toronto's close to Cleveland in a sense. I don't know how accurate that is, but I read that, and that could just be the Twitter sphere putting it out there. But so they're going to report to their home bases, and then they're going to all start to arrive between July 9th and July 11th. They're supposedly going to be reporting at different times to get everything done. And before they even go, they're testing starting next week, Mike. I don't know if you caught that piece.
Yes.
I know we were talking about, you know, so they're going to start testing them. And then if they test them and they test positive, they're going to be in at least 7 to 10 day quarantine. There's been reports of 7 days to 10 days, and they have to have two negative tests. It sounds weird saying two negative tests, but two negative tests in a row in order to be out of the quarantine. And we'll get your take after all this, Mike. I'll let you. And then after that, they're going to have the training camp is going to start. When they get to Orlando, they're going to have to be in quarantine. I believe it was 36 hours. And then After the 36 hours, they're going to have training camp, and training camp's going to happen until July 31st, and the season will be done by October 12th. The draft lottery will occur August 25th. The NBA draft will occur October 15th, and the free agency will begin on October 18th. Obviously, these are all on sliders, because if the season ends earlier, they might shift a little bit earlier than that. So let's just talk the 1920 season and the schedule that you've heard and the little bips and bobs that you've heard. What is your take, Mike?
Well, I think the biggest thing that has come out for me since this was first announced is the, I don't know if it's news, but just in my reading as I was going through and trying to figure this whole thing out, I came across, and it doesn't seem to be making many headlines, but to me it seems like it's a pretty big deal, and that is that if a player is to leave the Disney World campus bubble, that they are also going to be subject to that 10-day quarantine, two negative tests in order to return to play. And that seems like, I know for a long time there was talk of the bubble and players not being allowed to leave the bubble, and then that was met with, I think, a lot of backlash, and the league or the media at least seemed to walk that back and say, no, it's not going to be a bubble. It's going to be a campus-like environment. But if anybody leaves the campus-like environment, then you're going to be out for 10 days. That seems pretty much like a bubble that you're not allowed to leave. If the penalty for leaving is you have to sit out for 10 days, and let's say that happens during the finals and you have the Bucks and Lakers and LeBron and Giannis decide to run out of the bubble and go pick up some groceries, and then they come back and they have to sit out 10 days. I mean, in theory, if you're playing every other day, which is what I assume they're going to do when you get to the finals, both of those guys have to sit out. They'd basically miss five playoff games or five finals games. That seems, I don't know how likely it is that a player is going to leave the bubble. I have no idea what the mentality and what it's going to be like inside the bubble, whether or not if those teams start arriving, right, between July 9th and July 11th, and they go all the way to the finals on October 12th, 3 months of doing nothing but sitting in your hotel room and going and playing your games.
And there's options, Mike. They can go golfing.
What if
I told my dad they could go golfing, he's like, if I was a coach, I'd be so mad if they go and play golf. I'm like, Dad, Jordan went and played golf.
Did your dad watch The Last Dance or what?
I'm about to publicly shame my father here. He recorded all the episodes, but he hasn't watched them.
Oh, boy.
I'm like, well, Dad, you've got it recorded. What are you doing at night? I don't want to say what my parents are watching.
All right, that's fine.
Trash TV.
All right, anyway, that's fine. I guess my point is, if you're stuck in that bubble for 3 months and you can't leave under penalty of missing 10 days of your playoff season, that's a bubble. That's not a campus-like environment.
Yeah.
That is a bubble. And
from what I've read, Mike, that their real options are going to be, they're going to be able to go golfing, and they're going to be able to go to Disney Springs area for like food, to dinner and stuff. And that's basically going to be what they're restricted to. And then I don't know, and whatever hotel they're at, because, you know, I know we had talked about it briefly last week that it sounded like they were going to be at one resort, but I've been reading there's going to be spread out between two or three. I don't know what's accurate, because that hasn't been officially announced yet, but I've heard they're going to be spread out between three. So I think my piece that's interesting is, you know, their goal, you know, and they were talking, just how they're going to handle if a person gets tests positive. Like, they're going to, obviously they're testing every single day. Like, even if your team doesn't have a game, and I mean, I don't know how their practices and all that stuff's going to work in between day and like days off and things, but supposedly they're going to test every single day. And after they test every single day, you know, if a person tests positive, then they're going to be quarantined. And then they're just going to keep playing on. But what happens if there's a team that gets two or three players that, you know, get it? And then, I mean,
well, did you hear any of the stuff about the roster spots and how they can fill those roster spots?
So there's supposedly two-way players you know, there's been conflicting reports on this. Like I said, there's been a lot of conflicting reports on these things. But supposedly the two-way players are going to, you know, there's been talks that they're going to be part of the team. And then there's other parts that says, the two-way players are going to be in the campus environment, but they won't be
on the active roster unless...
They won't be on the active roster and they won't... But that seems counterproductive in my opinion, because if they're going to be having to fill in and they want these games to be as, you know, I don't want to say legitimate as... I don't know if that's the right word. I would just say include them on the roster. What does it matter? Like, because if they're not going to practices and they're not doing things and then, you know, Kawhi gets hurt and then Paul George gets hurt and they're pulling up two guys who haven't practiced with the team, that's not going to look good. I mean, that's my opinion. I don't know if you feel the same way.
Those two guys aren't going to play is the bottom line. I mean, I guess you're only looking at those guys having any type of meaningful impact. And clearly if your two-way players are playing any meaningful minutes in a playoff game.
Hey, your boy is a two-way player, Mike.
I don't know who my boy is.
Bull Bull.
Okay. All right. Well, so maybe Bull Bull will get in there. But let's put it this way. If Bull Bull is playing for the Nuggets, then the Nuggets are going to be in a heap of trouble. If you're going to your two-way players, that's not going to go well. So I don't know that it matters whether they're on the roster or not. I think that what they have to guard against, again, and we've talked about it numerous times over the last couple weeks, is if you have a team that gets multiple guys sick or multiple guys leaving the campus-like environment, you're going to get yourself very quickly into a situation where what happens, especially if it's a star player, somebody who drives one of those teams. That's going to be, I don't want to say disastrous, obviously disastrous for that team, but you just wonder what that looks like if one or more star players on a team ends up being compromised either because they left the bubble or because they get COVID.
So
I have a question.
Do you, if a player leaves the bubble, are they subject to fine?
I don't know.
By the team?
I don't know. You would have to think that there would be some kind of protocol in place to incentivize guys to stay. I mean, other than the fact that if you leave, you're missing 10 days and you're probably going to, you know, get the, your teammates aren't going to be too happy with you and your coaching staff and your management and everything else, fan base. So I would think there would probably be some incentive in some way to keep the guys inside the bubble. But
if it's true that they're not going to be able to leave, I think it's going to be very hard for players to even attempt to leave anyways, because they're going to have security on premises at all times. And they'll find a way if they really, really want to, but I really think it's going to be hard for them to leave. And I don't know if it wants to lead into what they're doing in Germany.
Mark. Yeah. I mean, all right. So let's talk about that for a second. So they could be like the German basketball league, which I think they're having like a 10 team. It's a 10-team tournament. Let me look. 10-team tournament that starts on Saturday. And they are asking their players voluntarily to wear a tracker only in the hotel. So it's not while they're playing. It's not when they are out, but only when they're inside their hotel. And they're talking about it being for contact tracing so they can figure out if somebody does get it, who has that player been in contact with and where have they been, so that then they could, in theory, test the people around them. So it's not really as invasive as it could be if they said, hey, as soon as you step inside the bubble, you're wearing this thing all the time, and that way we can track where you were. Obviously, that's not going to fly. But I don't know. I think the perception, like we talked about earlier, when it first came out, the idea that you're going to put these guys in a bubble for 3 months, everybody was like, oh, that's terrible. You can't lock these guys down like that for that long. And it's just, you know, it's un-American. And now...
Could you imagine Dennis Rodman in the bubble?
Dennis Rodman probably wouldn't last in the bubble. It probably would have been not very good for the second three-peat Bulls to have to defend one of the titles in the bubble. But let's face it, there's all different levels of I don't even know what the right word is. Let's just call it seriousness, for lack of a better way of explaining it, in terms of what guys' focus is going to be on when they're down there. And these are young guys that like to go out, like to do things, and you're asking them to basically sit in their hotel room, play golf, and go to dinner for 3 months. Now, it doesn't sound like a horrible life, but also, if you can't go anywhere and your freedom is restricted in that way, there's going to be people that are going to have a problem with that. And especially you think about just in light of what's been going on in the country and the perception of, hey, we're locking these guys down. I don't know. There's a whole lot here for the NBA to navigate that I've been saying ever since they've started to talk about coming back. For this thing to go correctly, and by correctly, I mean that everybody stays on the floor, nobody gets sick, you play the requisite number of regular season games, and then you go all the way through the playoffs, and you have what amounts to a legitimate championship at the end where no teams have been compromised because of illness or leaving the bubble. I think an awful lot of things have to go right in order for that to happen.
I'm gonna go out here on a limb, Mike, and say that that's never going to happen. Someone's going to contract it over the time. There is zero chance that we're going to have zero players test positive.
So what do you think? What do you think are the odds that when October 12th rolls around? Well, first, let's take it one step further. Let's start with this question. What are the odds that this thing, in whatever form or fashion you want to describe it as, what are the odds that the season makes it to October 12th and we crown a champion? Forget about whether it's legitimate or illegitimate for the moment. Just, can they make it through this entire schedule / playoff? Or do you think that at some point this thing just becomes untenable because so many people test positive that they just can't continue it, or it becomes a farce? Here's
what I'm going to say. If the season starts back up, I think they make it. I think that the training camp period is going to be the period that's going to be the dicey period. I think if they make it through that and they get to the season, and maybe the 8 games is really going to be the hard part, because I think that once we get to the playoffs, I think the players are going to be so locked in that they're going to be distracted enough that they're not going to want to go out and do stuff and risk anything.
All right, so you have that. So yeah, you're right.
If the season starts back up, I feel pretty good that they'll make it. Will it be October 12th or will it be a little bit later than that? That remains to be seen. But I think they finish the season if they start it. If they get to the point where if opening night games start and they've gone pretty smooth sailing through there, I think we make it through.
Okay.
That's what I'm going to say.
So this is my question then. What are the chances in your mind that the title at the end of it is, quote, a legitimate title? What are the odds that we make it through the whole playoffs where round by round there aren't any of the best players on teams being compromised and quarantined because of illness or leaving the bubble, so that
I'm ready to say it right now. If LeBron wins, it's going to be not going to be a title. Everyone's going to say it's not a title. No matter what happens, we could almost have nobody get it. If LeBron wins, they're going to conspire. It's just going to be, this isn't a real thing. If Giannis wins it, Mike, I'm going to tell you,
it's a real thing, or it's not a real thing.
It's a real thing. It's a real thing. It's
you think there's Giannis that much wins, bias against thing. LeBron?
The national media is so against him. I know, we watch SportsCenter and they talk LeBron all the time, blah, blah, blah. But everyone will be all jumping on that. The Twitter haters, the Jordan truthers. I'm not saying you would say it, but a lot of the Jordan truthers that can't even stand, like, don't even think LeBron's two all time. And they bad. Like, I'm telling you right now, if LeBron wins it, regardless of what happens, it will not be a real title. I'm just saying that. Okay. Now. I think
that's fair. That's fair.
That's my opinion.
That's fair. I think it's going to be, personally, I think it's going to be really, really, really difficult to get through this whole thing and not have it at the end look back and go, ooh, man, this was a lot harder than we thought. And there were a lot of guys and teams that ended up getting compromised. And as a result, I'm not sure that this title means the same thing as another title. I hope that's not true. I hope that we can get through it. And if anybody does get sick or does have to go through the 10-day quarantine, that it's some player number 11 or 12. And you would hope that once they get down there and they start quarantining, that the guys who are the star players are going to do everything in their power and the teams are going to do everything in their power to make sure that those guys stay virus free. But like I've said numerous times, I feel like there's so many moving parts to this thing to be able to get it right and make sure that it's working. I think you and I were talking earlier today about the fact that they're not going to have no housekeeping coming into the room to kind of keep, again, yep, keep as much or as little contact as possible. But if you're not going to let the players go out, I guess, you know, they can go out to restaurants. So that's assuming that the servers are going to be wearing masks, and it's going to be assuming that the Utah pizza delivery team isn't working in the kitchen with any of these guys. I don't know. There, to me, it still feels like there's a lot of things that can go wrong, especially, and I think this is the thing that maybe we're underestimating, is when we think about COVID out in the regular population, there's still amongst regular people, there isn't very much testing going on. I know we're testing more people day in and day out, but still, the vast majority.
But according to our president, Mike, we're testing more than anyone.
Okay, well, whatever. We can be testing more than anyone, less than anyone. Whatever our president says, I would tend to think the opposite. But regardless of that, I just think that you're going to have people that, like, again, you could have had it, I could have had it, and maybe we're those people that don't have symptoms, and we just go about our daily life, and we never are any of the wiser. But if you're going to test everybody every single day or every other day or whatever the procedure is going to be, you're going to find people who are asymptomatic but are still going to have to be locked down for that 10 days. And I don't know. I think more players are going to test positive than we anticipate, just because I think there's a large percentage of the population in the United States that have it, but that don't even realize that they have it because they're asymptomatic, or they had a very mild strain of it that felt like a cold or felt like whatever, the flu. So I don't know.
They were talking on the mismatch today on the Ringer that if they get through on 10 to 20 people, this is what Kevin O'Connor said, 10 to 20 people test positive, and that's it, that would be a success. That's kind of what Kevin
O'Connor
seemed to
phrase it as. 10 to 20 people over the course of the entire 3-month period?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. It just depends. Again,
I think that would be pretty successful.
I agree,
right?
But it just depends on who those people are. Again,
are we talking about Alex Caruso or are we talking about LeBron James?
Right. There's a big difference. I mean, let's face it.
No offense,
Alex. But if the wrong guy gets it at the wrong time, and you have to quarantine for 10 days, and you're on an every other day game schedule, you're missing 5 games in a series. If Giannis gets it, and he misses 5 games of a Bucks series, probably not in the first round, but if he misses 5 games in the second round, or the conference finals, or the finals, more power to you, Milwaukee, if you can win that series without Giannis there for 5 games. I just don't see it happening. And we could go down the list of lots of other teams who, if it's their best player and their best player has to miss 10 days, that's rough. I'll be curious to see if it really is one of the transcendent superstars. So let's say it's LeBron. Let's say it's Giannis. One of those, it's Kawhi. One of those guys gets it and their team is still alive and still playing. Do they look at that and say, all right, now we need to stretch this series. Maybe we can't stop the series from playing, but maybe we play every third day. So they only have to miss 3 games before they can come back. And at that point, again, does it become Does it become tainted if it's Denver and the Lakers in the second round, and Denver's completely healthy, and the Lakers are missing LeBron and somebody else off their team, JaVale McGee, and they have to miss. I'm just saying they have to miss three or four games. Pick any, whatever, and Denver wins that series. How big of an asterisk then do you place on what happens every subsequent round after that, because LeBron's team was eliminated when he had to sit out for 10 days? I just think there's a lot of things that have to go right in terms of just the sheer numbers. Yeah, 10 to 20, sure, that's fine if it's the right people. 10 to 20 could be completely devastating if it's the wrong people. So I just continue to go back to there's a lot that has to go right in order for this thing to work the way people hope it's going to.
Yep. And who knows? I mean, really, like I said, I think we're going to know pretty soon into the training camps how it's going to go. I really think that's going to be the telltale sign, in my opinion.
You would think that if people are going to test positive, or you're going to get a large number of people testing positive, you would think that as they arrive in Orlando and are tested, that's when you're going to find.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're going to find a lot of people. Then the question becomes, and again, I don't know the answer to this because of what I've been reading, and you can read all kinds of conflicting medical reports and different things.
It's just like this. It's just like all the reports from the CDC and the WHO.
Right.
I mean, it's conflicting reports. Right. You don't know what the hell's going on.
No, you don't. And if you have it and you quarantine for 10 days and then you're tested and then you're negative, I've never been able to confirm anywhere that guarantees that you can't get it again, or that guarantees that you're still not carrying it and passing it on to somebody. I have no idea. I don't think doctors really know for sure. So there's a lot for the NBA to work out. Again, we hope that it does work out. Obviously, we want to watch basketball and like love to see this season conclude in a way that is meaningful and that produces a legitimate champion at the end of it. But I put their odds at maybe just over 50% that whether it's they don't finish it at all because too many people get it and it just becomes compromised, or they end up with something at the end of it that because of the number of guys that missed significant time throughout the playoffs, that it ends up being an asterisk championship. And that would be too bad if that happens. But I don't think the odds are any better than 60% that you end up with a legitimate champion where basically everybody plays and it looks like a regular postseason.
Listen, there's going to be one thing. I think we can for safely say that there's going to be a lot of things for us to talk about once it starts back up.
Absolutely.
Because, I mean, we might not be able to just do it in one episode, Mike. We might have to do two nights a week with just NBA stuff, because it's going to be kind of,
well, it's going to be coming,
what happens one week is going to be,
it's going to come at us fast and furious. Let's put it that way. Cause there's going to be so many games. So I think it'll be interesting to see what that feels like. It's obviously going to have a different feel than what the playoffs normally do.
I'm interested to see what the schedule itself looks like. And I'm interested to see how they're going to cover it on TV, because there's just going to be so much that we're not even thinking about. But I mean, obviously, they're going to have two or three games running at a time. And if you've got 22 teams down there, you've got a potential, I mean, you're not going to run 11 games in a day. But, you know, to start off, they've got to figure a schedule out where teams are, you know, are playing enough games. But at the same time, they've got to figure out a way. They're going to broadcast them all, I would assume. They've got to figure out a way to try to broadcast, if not all, as many as they can. Maybe, you know, because
every game is going to be broadcast. Absolutely, it's going to be broadcast. I don't know what
that's going to look like. I don't know what that's going to look like, because, you know, the thing that they're going to run into, obviously, is, you know, when they get into the grand scheme of things, is you're going to run into, you know, football starting back up, if football starts back up.
But by the time football starts back up, you're going to have,
I know there won't be as many games.
There won't be as many teams left. So you'll have that. We'll alleviate it.
But I just don't know how it'll be fun to see. Maybe I know I'm just throwing this out there. You know, NBA, I'm sure you've thought about all the possibilities, but I mean, TNT and TBS and all them lost all of March Madness. Could you potentially put them all on those channels too? Like, throw them on there? Because you know for a fact that all these channels are going to be starving for content by the time August and September rolls around.
Well, but do you think games are going to ever go on simultaneously?
Oh, they have to. You can't have one game going at once, one game at a time. It's impossible unless you're going to run games from 8 a.m. to, you know, like I had said, and you shot that down real quick.
But is that a better option? Is that a better option? I guess, when's the first round slated to start? The first round is still going to be in what is, quote,
I feel like August 25th or something like that. I feel like it's right around when the draft lottery was.
Let's just take the first round, right? So in the first round, you're going to have 8 series, correct?
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah, not including the play-in tournament.
Let's just say we're at 16 teams. So it's the traditional first round of the playoffs. So you have 8 series going. Each of those series is going to play. I'm assuming you're just going to play.
Okay, here, Mike. Here, I got the dates in front of me. Okay. Here, let me. Here's what they've got.
Okay.
The regular season will start on July 31st. The play-in tournament will run August 16th and 17th.
Okay.
So that means that they're playing 8 games in 15 days. 16 days. Okay, Mike?
Yeah.
And that means they're playing...
I'm thinking more about... Listen, let's forget about the regular season. I don't really even care necessarily about any of those games, to be honest with you. I think a lot of them, especially with the teams at the top that aren't fighting for seeding, it's not going to matter. And I could see those games being all broadcast on some combination of NBA TV, TN. I mean, every channel,
League Pass, something like that.
Every channel that they have, and they're all obviously going to be covered by their regional sports networks. So there's enough places, enough outlets.
But are they? Because they're not bringing in the media. I mean, They're having very limited media.
Right, I'm guessing, this is just my guess, I would guess they're going to at least offer the feed. So the feed of the game, even if they have the home team's announcers just sitting in a booth somewhere in a studio announcing the game
from
the camera.
Got it, I understand what you're saying, yeah.
I could see that
kind of kind of like what ESPN's been doing with Korea and baseball.
Yeah, I think that's probably... a likely outcome. I haven't read that. I don't know that for sure, but that seems to me like a likely outcome. So the regular season, I think games are going to overlap and they'll probably have some afternoon games and different things like that. Okay, that's fine. But I'm thinking about once you get to the first round of the playoffs.
Okay, first round of the playoffs is August 18th.
Okay.
The second round of the playoffs, conference semifinals, is September 1st.
Right. So basically what you're saying there is you're playing... Every other day. So you're going to have 4 series playing on one day. You're going to have 4 series playing on another day.
I think what you're going to do is you're going to have 2 games going at once, because I feel like, and I don't know the whole setup at Wild World of Sports, but I feel like there's one building that has 3 courts and another building that has 1 court, Mike.
Okay.
Or it might be 2 and 1.
Okay.
So they could theoretically have, you know, the one building have a game and the other building have a game. You know, and running them at the same exact time.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. I mean, they could. I could also see where you just start those games at 4 o'clock, and the traditional NBA TV first round matchup that nobody wants to watch is the 4 o'clock game, and then you have a 6:30 game, and then you have a 9, and then you have an 11th. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do, but. It'll be interesting to see how they handle that. The one thing that we haven't talked about in relation to the number of courts available and the number of games that are going to be played, are these teams going to have any time once this thing ramps up? Is there going to be practice time? I mean, I know teams don't practice very much anyway, but you can't tell me that there aren't, there aren't going to be coaches and teams that want to get out on the floor for shoot arounds and to walk through stuff and whatever. You can't tell me that that's not going to happen. So how do you handle, especially when you're in that first round or that regular season, and you only have four courts available, how are you handling getting 22 teams some practice time? That to me is something I haven't seen discussed anywhere. And I'm sure there's a plan. I'm sure there's a way they could work it out, whether you don't get a practice slot every day or whatever it might be. I don't know how they'd handle it, but
I think the practices are going to look a lot like Snow Valley practices, Mike. All the teams on the little portable hoops. Can they do that in the NBA? Is that possible?
Not if you're trying to social distance them while they're not playing against each other.
That's true. I guess no one really talked about practice. Yeah, I guess they listened to Allen Iverson.
I've never heard anything mentioned at all about practice, but it's just kind of interesting to think about what that could potentially look like. So I don't know.
All right.
There's a lot of challenges, let's put it that way.
Yeah. So the only other thing related to the schedule is your reaction on the proposed quick turnaround plan for the next season, Mike. Only giving 6 weeks off. I think it's a little crazy personally, especially like given whoever is in the NBA finals, expecting them a month later to show up to training camp is a little bizarre,
yeah,
in my opinion.
I think from a standpoint of the players, obviously right now they've had time off that they wouldn't normally get. So I think if you're the league and you're trying to sell this plan of the quick turnaround and starting the following season on December 1st, the players union, what you're saying to them is, yes, this is a shortened off season, but really you had your off season from March to July. And that's just the way it is. We all kind of have to collectively suck it up and figure out how we're going to make this work. And this is what makes the most sense. I think that a lot of it is driven by wanting to finish by that date when the Tokyo Olympics is supposed to start, which is July 23rd. I don't think the NBA wants to get into a position where their season is going on and they're forcing players both from the United States, but even probably more importantly, their international players. I don't think they want to make those players choose between, are you going to play with your team in the playoffs if your team's still alive, or are you going to go play for your country in the Olympics? I don't think they want to put their players in that position.
It's going to be interesting, Mike, to see on the Olympic piece. Like, I know LeBron has said that he's considering playing, but I think there's zero chance he plays. At this point, I think there's zero chance, because you're telling me say the Lakers make a deep playoff run here and we go into the October. Then they make a deep playoff run next year into June. You're telling me he's going to want to say,
well,
all
it's
right,
not going to be into June. It's going to be like the finals are legitimately going to end like July 20th.
I didn't see a schedule out there because they've been talking that it might be condensed and not as many games, and that they want to try to make it as close to, at least what I read. Maybe I read wrong. They want to make it as close. They want to end it as close to the time frame as it typically would end. They don't want to mess with the schedule. They're going to remain where they are with their schedule. From what I'm reading,
that's
going
to be that to me is the harder sell, because then what you're getting into is you're setting up a situation where guys are going to be sitting out a colossal amount of games if you're playing all these back to backs. And I know that.
Well, I don't know. The way that I read it was that they were going to do it kind of structured like the lockout season. I mean, I know there were more back-to-backs there, but making it like 68 games.
But the NBA, what I've read is that they don't want to give up those games because, again, the dollars that are involved. And so they're going to play those games, I would guess. I mean, I can't see them losing games this season and then turning around and saying, all right, we're going to lose 14 games per team the following season. I just don't see that happening. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't see that happening. And if that's not going to happen, if you're going to play a full 82 game schedule, that thing, not only is it going to be condensed, it is going to be condensed, and you're going to get guys that just aren't going to play. And at that point, you're kind of watering down.
You want to see load management?
Yeah, exactly. You're just going to water down your product to a certain degree. And so I would think that the best thing would be to extend that season as far out as they possibly can, because they don't want to. So that means you got to be done by July 23rd when the Olympics is slated to start. And I could see them finishing, like I said, a week before that, 5 days before that, whatever it might be. Because again, that's only going to be two teams, obviously, that are going to be in the finals. Everybody else is going to have more time off to prepare or get ready or decide whether or not they're playing on the Olympic team, because their teams are going to be eliminated sooner. But I don't know. It's interesting. I think that ultimately, I'm not sure that shifting to the summer or shifting more things to the summer is the best way to do it, especially when you talk about if regular season games are going to be played during the season. You think about like a 7 p.m. tip in June with just a random regular season game. I would have to think the ratings for those games would be way down from a game that's played during the season. It's like the other night I was out walking with my daughter and we were walking the dog and it was like 9:15 and totally light out still. And somehow we got talking about the NBA and just the schedule changes and whatever. And I said, imagine if the Cavs had played like a regular season game tonight at 7 o'clock, you know, would we have gone inside to sit in front of the TV and watch that game? I'm not sure we would have, but in January, when it's cold and snowy and it's been dark for 3 hours, you're much more likely to sit down in front of the TV. So it would be interesting to see what playing in the summer without the competition from football, but with the competition of nice weather and longer daylight hours, how that would impact the ratings.
Yeah. Well, I mean, who knows? I think ultimately no one's going to know what it's going to look like until this season's over.
Correct.
Right?
I mean, correct. Correct. And this season, like I said, I still think there's barely a better than 50% chance that this thing ends up with a result that the NBA is legitimately happy with. I think there's a lot more scenarios where either they don't finish it at all or they end up with something that, sure, we finished out the season, but man, we didn't get
Mike, you really got your negative Nancy pants on tonight.
I don't know. I just think there's so many things that could go, you know, that could go wrong. And yet at the same time, you and I were talking a little bit before we jumped on the podcast tonight that my son here in the state of Ohio started basketball workouts on Monday. And my wife and I had a really hard time kind of debating back and forth whether or not to let him go, because we've been following the rules and staying, keeping to ourselves and social distancing and not really
seeing. And you know that others have not.
And I know for sure that others have not. And you just see that as more things open up, as you are more out in society and COVID isn't necessarily visible. So when I'm at a restaurant or I'm in the grocery store or I'm wherever, the more times I do that, the more comfortable I become in those environments and the easier it is to kind of fall back into my normal patterns. And I just think that, I don't know. I don't know what this thing is going to look like. I have no idea whether we're headed for a huge spike in cases or we're not. I don't know the answer to that.
I completely agree. I think we're going to know in the next 2 weeks, though, with all the protests that have gone on and all these people in spots, you know, a lot of them not wearing masks. I really think that we're going to know in the next few weeks what's going on. I genuinely think that. And, you know, I've talked at length with us on the podcast, like I'll go to the store and my wife and I, like you, we've really been following the rules, like not going anywhere at all. My kids have literally, they've been out of the house twice since this whole thing started. Really? I mean, other than doctor's appointments, we took the kids to the zoo one time and we took them to see Will to see his teachers, like do a wave off, and that's it. That's literally it. But then I go to the store and I see these people just walking in, no masks,
right?
Not social distancing. It's like, okay, well, I guess this is over. Like, I don't know, you know, and you know, they're still putting on stuff. Like, who knows what fall and schools are going to look like, because we don't know yet. But just like in general, it's just crazy how quickly we forget. I mean, they're just, everyone's, like you said, getting way more comfortable with stuff. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'm excited for NBA to come back, but it's just going to be interesting to watch how it all rolls out and how much spread, so to speak, happens during basketball games.
Yeah, I feel like the metaphor for this whole thing is Adam Silver standing on the side of a cliff, just looking over and teetering on the edge of the cliff at all times, constantly waving his arms, trying to keep his balance so that the whole thing doesn't fall off the cliff and end up being a debacle. And I'm pessimistic right now that it's going to be able to happen in a way that crowns what we would all consider to be a legitimate champion. Because every time I turn around, every time I read something, there's another issue or another thing that I hadn't considered or another thing that they have to make sure that they have in place or another thing that they have to take care of before they can continue to move forward. And there's just a lot of moving parts. And I hope they can do it. Like you, I'm excited for basketball to return. It'll be great if we can get some games and some things to watch and some things to talk about.
Hey, listen, yep. Starting Thursday, golf is back, baby. I'm going to be tuned in. So if you'd like to watch some golf on Thursday, you know,
have they announced what the major schedule is going to be? Because that's really the only thing.
Oh my God. The fall is going to be amazing, Mike. It's like everything is going to be in August and September. Like okay. All the majors, and then the Masters is in November.
Okay.
The Masters is 2 weeks before Thanksgiving.
All right. Well, I'm sure I'll be tuned in for those to some degree. Not to the degree that you are, I'm sure, but I'll be watching all those.
I got my PGA Tour Live goal.
Those are all going to compete with football in theory.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, yeah. Looking at schedules and stuff, it's the golf. I'm super pumped. The majors are all in August, I think, Mike. Okay. I think they're all in August, like, except for the Masters. The Masters is the only one, but I think the Masters is in a unique situation where they can get away with competing with football because I think a lot of people will watch the Masters, even if it's over football. Or potentially what you think, the idea that's been thrown out there is they do what they did last year with the Masters because of the weather. They tee them off both sides in the morning, and theoretically they could be done. They could be done before 2 o'clock, yeah. Essentially. Yeah. So then the only people that would be in question would be like if you were at the 1 o'clock NFL games, you know, then you might have a little conflict, but
yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense.
So who knows what it's going to exactly look like, but yeah, I'm super pumped for golf. I'll definitely be tuning in this weekend for golf.
Well, it's going to be an interesting next couple months on the sports landscape. It's going to be an interesting next couple of months on the medical front in terms of seeing what's happening again as everybody in our country kind of goes back to, I don't want to say goes back to normal, but as you said, there certainly is a lot of people who have just started to, as states have reopened, people are just kind of doing their thing. And we're going to find out soon enough whether or not that's okay and we don't end up with a huge spike in cases or whether that turns out to have been a really bad mistake. And I think for you and I, we're also curious about how not only does it impact sports, but clearly as two teachers, we're curious to see how, and parents, we're curious to see how it impacts the school year next year. And I don't know where it's going to go. Like I said numerous times here, I read conflicting reports every single day about what's happening here and what's happening there and what it means and what it doesn't mean. And I think the best thing you can say about all this is keep yourself informed on what's going on and just pay attention to what you're being asked to do. And hopefully we'll get through it and come out better for it on the other side.
I completely agree, Mike.
All right. I think that wraps it up. I don't think we have anything else that we need to touch on. I think we covered most everything in terms of the related news for this week. We will be back next week where I'm sure there will be a whole new different set of things for us to talk about that could potentially impact the league's return, and more details will probably start to trickle out about exactly how they're going to manage the regular season. Oh, the one thing we didn't talk about was piping in NBA 2K sounds. Where do you stand on that? I guess that's the last thing.
I mean, I don't know. I think that's cheesy. Yeah, let them play.
Yeah, I vote no on that. I understand where they may not want to have the players' sounds and voices coming across the screen because of what may or may not be being said by the players. But I don't want to listen to I don't want to listen to fake noise. I'd much rather just let me hear the squeaking shoes and the announcers, and that's all I really care about. I don't need to hear anything else.
The thing is this, Mike, and you know, I think in a situation like with And I know you don't watch European soccer. I know you don't do that.
I do not watch European soccer.
European soccer, the sound piping in, I completely understand, because they're just playing the fans singing the songs and stuff. And that's what they would be doing anyways. So that I can buy into. It's that's a different situation than the fake noise, like the fake crowd noise, because I just feel like it's more authentic. Whereas what are they going to do? How are they going to pipe in the fake sound noise? Are they going to, it's when they, someone hits a three pointer, are they just going to hit a button in the, in,
or is it going to be for the home team? So if the Lakers are the home team, are you only pumping in positive crowd noise when the Lakers
and
score?
Are you going to put the boo? Are you going to make booing noises when people are shooting free throws?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
That's stupid. Yeah, that's dumb. Like I said, the European soccer, I think they've done it right, where they're just, they literally have them doing the Olé chants and things like that. I can buy that. That's an okay thing, in my opinion. But that's also in a big soccer stadium. Like, it's open air, it's huge. That makes sense to me. Doing it in these smaller courts, it's just gonna seem, I don't know, fake and bizarre.
I'm sure. Well, would they even play it in the arena, or are they just gonna be playing it through the broadcast?
Well, I know in European soccer, they've been playing it in the arenas. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what they're
if
doing.
If I was a player, if I was a player, I would not want that. I would just want it to be quiet and just play. And then here's the other thing. This is, I guess, the last point that I've heard talked about. Are they going to allow, and you would have to think, are they going to allow players from teams who aren't playing to come in and watch the games on their off days?
I'm going to say the answer to that is no. I'm thinking, here's what I think they're going to do. If you want to watch the games, they're going to pipe all of them into their hotel rooms. That's what they're going to do.
But don't you think it'd be fun? Don't you think it'd be fun if the Bucks are playing one night and the Lakers are playing on a different night, that LeBron's there at every Bucks game kind of watching? He's got his scouting report. He's taking notes. Don't you think that'd be kind of fun? Or they're up.
Yeah, but then that creates more of the people in the space.
I understand, but I think it'll be kind of fun. It'd be kind of fun if those guys could go watch.
You know what would
be
really fun?
What's that?
Is they would get the players announce the games for their opponents.
That would be fun.
Like having LeBron be a color commentator on the
Clippers
game, Sixers game.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That would be fun. It's not. That's not going to happen.
They won't do that. No, it's not going to happen.
Hey, maybe they surprise us. Maybe there's some innovations.
Maybe they get players from the eight teams that aren't playing. Like you get Kevin Love to do a game, or you get.
Then you got to bring. Him into the bubble. Although again, you could just have him watching the feed of the game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you know what they do that what they did with that stupid players only thing that wasn't really working.
Yeah,
but it would come something like that, and you know, I really think that this is a chance for the NBA to get creative.
Should try some stuff. I mean, I think they'd be making a mistake not at least trying to do a game where they actually are playing the things that the players are, you know, what they're saying. And maybe you have to put it on a 10-second delay so you can bleep it, and maybe it would just be a constant bleep.
Or you just put it on ESPN and you run it with the same thing they did with the Jordan documentary in front of it, and you say, here's a game where they're bleeping things, and here's a game that they're not bleeping. At.
Right.
Like, you run on ESPN and ESPN2.
I hope they just do that. I hope they do that just because I think it would be interesting. And I hope the NBA does try some other different things, some innovative things with the broadcast, that just try it and see if it works. And maybe you hit on something. Maybe you go, even if you go 1 for 10 on innovations, if you find something cool that could work moving forward, then I think you've come out of it ahead. Because it's not like you're going to turn people off, because people are going to be dying to watch anything. And even if you have something that momentarily,
well, they're going to be dying to watch anything that isn't the Brooklyn Nets versus the Orlando Magic.
even that, people are going to be watching that. So it may not be you and I, but somebody will be watching it. So anyway, it is 1:55 a.m. So we actually finished before 2 today. So that's pretty good.
Which means that this will post about 3.
Should be about 3 after I get done doing all the audio stuff. So we really appreciate everyone listening. I know that today we posted our first new show from the Hoopheads Pod Network, Thrive with Trevor Huffman. So if you haven't gotten a chance to listen to the trailer for Trevor's show, please go ahead and do that. Download it. Take a listen to it. You should be able to subscribe to it very soon. I know it's already up on Spotify. I haven't checked in the last couple hours whether it's made it up to Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts yet, but it will be there soon. And then we have
when's the first episode dropping, Mike?
Should be next Tuesday. Should be the first episode of Trevor's podcast. And then we have two more that are very close to being released. So we have Beyond the Ball, which is going to be with Justin Gerstung and Eric Klump. And those guys are going to be talking about basketball, family, and faith, and how those three interplay in the lives of coaches. And then we have the CoachMaze.com podcast with Jason Mays, who's going to be talking all things high school basketball. And it's going to be a very practical podcast for high school basketball coaches to be able to find things that they can take away from every episode to help them improve their program. So we're excited about those shows. And then we've got a couple more that are still in the development stages. So we're excited about where we're going with the Hoopheads Pod Network. So hopefully you'll continue to stick with Jason and I as the flagship show on the network. And hopefully you'll give some of our new shows a try as well. So we appreciate you listening tonight. And to everyone out there, we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.